What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 22 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. We're very fortunate to have Wes from ZapCon joining us today. Wes is joining us on our first interview, so we're going to foray into this adventure together. So, Wes, I know you from the pinball side of things. Do you want to give yourself a little bit of an introduction as to the overall ZapCon responsibilities that you have?
Sure. For those of you that don't know, I run a show in Phoenix called ZapCon, which is a pinball and arcade convention. We kind of modeled it after California Extreme. Zach and I took a trip out there for like 6 years ago or something like that, and just kind of wondered why nobody was doing that out here, so we took it upon ourselves to do it ourselves. And I guess the rest is kind of history. The organization that runs ZapCon is the Classic Game Preservation Society, which is a nonprofit. And Zach is the president, I'm the vice president, Rachel Best is the secretary, and a fellow named Kevin Simmons is the treasurer.
It took me reading to the bottom of the page on the ZapCon.com webpage to find out that it's not copyrighted by ZapCon, and so I did do a little research, and I had no idea that the Preservation Society existed, but I can say I'm grateful for that existence.
Yeah, we actually didn't start off with that. When we started, we were doing it under the name Zap Event, and we got the bright idea of becoming a nonprofit like 3 years ago, I think. It's worked out pretty good so far, and in I think a couple more years we will actually legally be able to do raffles, which will be fun for everybody.
Oh, that's cool.
As far as my day-to-day duties on ZapCon, I really kind of do most of it.
I believe it. with as much contact as I and everyone else that I know has. That kind of seems to be the case, and I see you at the front sign-in booth. I see you walking the floor. Do you actually get to participate in the event, or are you just kind of standing back and trying to put out fires that none of us get to see?
Oh yeah, no, I don't get to have any fun.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of the unfortunate thing, because I've seen ZapCon grow year after year. I think my first ZapCon was the last year at the Renaissance in Phoenix, and I can, from my perspective, going from there to the Mesa Convention Center was just enormous. I mean, I remember the Renaissance having a lower ceiling, and you just felt a little bit more cramped. And I know there were some power issues because there was those little like speed bumps along the aisles. And, you know, going to the convention center, it just felt so much more open and like it just fits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great space, and we like it a lot better than downtown Phoenix because parking available free, and I don't know if you remember the load-in situation of the Renaissance, but it was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, I got to assist with the load-in, and it was a little bit like playing dominoes in like an ice tray. There was like no room to maneuver, and if you were in first, you were in first. So I think we
They had an alleyway, and you were only allowed to have like a single file line of cars, and if you were hanging out in the street even a little bit, or if you try to double stack things, then the parking meter or the meter maids come and start handing out tickets. Yeah, it was just a mess.
Yeah, and I think the year that, well, I mean, the only year I was there, we were running a little behind, so we kind of got in on the tail end of the load-in, and so I think a lot of the folks had already done it, but I mean, just looking at the space there, we kind of looked at each other, my buddy Robert and I, and we were like, man, I'm kind of glad we're running a little behind, because I can't even imagine this during peak time.
Right. Just to go back to your question about the duties that I handle, I don't want to sell anybody else short. Rachel helps out a lot, like during the show.
Mm-hmm.
She handles like the volunteer coordination, and she handles like coordinating the load-in and putting everybody's games where they're supposed to be and all that. So, it's definitely a team effort.
Yeah, and I don't know everybody you know, matching a name to a face, but I've seen some of the same faces year after year, and they're always, you know, there before everybody else, and then they leave after everybody else is gone. So I can only assume that if I were to, be introduced to them, I'd be like, oh, yes, now I understand why, because you are such and such, and I've seen your name everywhere.
Right. And even some of those people aren't officially part of the organization. They're just people that are super helpful. There is a ton of people on the scene that are incredibly helpful and generous with their time and energy. It's really a great scene. I mean, I've made so many friends since I started doing this. It's just a really great group of people.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to say it's an army of volunteers, but it's a pretty healthy amount of volunteers that kind of keep everything going. You know, it takes a knowledgeable tech to kind of look at a game and say, oh, well, it's this, or, you know, even just to click on credits. If you give somebody a vest and say, make sure that machine doesn't run out of credits, without saying, you know, and they don't know what they're doing, they're going to be like, okay, do I feed quarters or what do you want me to do? You know what I mean?
So sure. We have a couple of paid professional technicians that we hire every year to kind of control all of that. And then we have just volunteers working underneath them where we'll show them how to clean up a game and you know, look for, in some instances, if they're capable, to like get a ball unstuck or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I've been to a couple shows around the country. I've been to Arcade Expo in Banning, California. I went to Texas Pinball Festival the last 2 years, obviously in Texas. And I've been to Replay FX, which is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pinburg is the big shining star of that. It's the largest pinball tournament in the world. But Replay FX as a whole is a pretty reasonably sized show. And I mean, I see a lot of moving pieces and a lot of not necessarily different ways of running a show, but definitely a lot of different layouts. And I think the only thing that is different between these various shows is the scale and kind of the locale that comes around, because after a couple of years, everybody's pretty good at kind of figuring out what it takes and kind of working on not necessarily errors or issues, but you know, that experience counts year after year. And I got to say, this year went really smooth. I had a lot of fun. I mean, I'm just going to do a little personal interjection. I had a ton of fun. There's always games for me to try out. I haven't played every pin ever yet, but you know, I had a great time at ZapCon 5.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, yeah, being compared to shows like Arcade Expo or Replay, that's a big compliment. I mean, those are really big shows.
Yeah, I mean, and I know those shows, they can draw a crowd from out of their immediate area, but, you know, I know ZapCon, I've talked to folks, and not even tournament players, that are coming from the Southern California and the Las Vegas areas, and, you know, people are traveling for ZapCon, and I think that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, we're starting to get some out-of-state travel. I mean, there's a guy named Paul Santa Cruz that sort of coordinates a bunch of people on the Build Your Own Arcade Controls forum, and he's gotten people from Australia to come out, and basically all over the country. And, you know, a fair amount of people come up from Tucson, and we've had some California visitors.
So you actually had a little, maybe not so little, company from South Carolina pay a visit this year too, didn't you?
Right.
That was...
Yeah, we finally got Marco to come out. That's something I've been working on for years.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
To walk into the area and just see all of these new Sterns set up and then kind of arranged the next day, and Marco's got his booth set up and everything, and it was, I got to chat with him for about 15 minutes or so, and he's just a super nice guy, and he's, he's got every...
Real personable, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he's really big on growing the hobby of pinball, and that's you know, kind of
yeah, that's, you know, when pinball grows, they have more business, so it makes sense.
Yeah, so it makes makes good deals for everybody.
Super nice guy, yeah.
So I'm sitting here, and I don't know if I got it from because I have to order lots of parts from various places, but it was either Marco or Pinball Life or one of the places that got one of your, it's probably a 3x5 postcard size ZapCon thing. And
yes.
I gotta ask you about the art. Who comes up with the theme maybe for the year? And then where's the art inspiration coming from?
We kind of powwow what theme we're going to do each time. But I do the art and stuff myself. I'm a artist by trade.
That's cool.
Yeah, I do, you know, graphic design and animation mostly. Nice. I'm working on actually the guy that's president of the CGTS as a video game developer, and I do animation for his projects.
So is that how the, is it ZapCon and Starfighter? Is that how those games kind of became reality then? Am I getting those titles correct?
The ZapCon, the game?
Yeah.
That was actually created by Paul Fennekers, the guy that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
He just did that completely on his own. He's also the guy that made the Polybius that we have. The Space Paranoids and the Starfighter are games that we made specifically to have at our show.
Yeah, I mean, when you're around games enough, you kind of can judge a game's age by its condition. And I walked past a couple of these things, and they look brand spanking new. And I'm like, I don't honestly know that much about video arcade games, but these look really new. So...
Yeah, people restore them just like they do pinball machines. It's pretty similar hobbies. Yeah, people buy them and trade them, fix them up, and sell them, and you know all that stuff.
Right. So last year was it a Contra theme? Am I correct, or am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. Last year we did Contra.
That was very sharp. It brought back some slightly traumatic memories of getting my butt kicked on, I think it was the NES. I don't think it was Super Nintendo. I think it was the NES. But
yeah,
man,
NES Contra was the big one, yeah.
Oh, man. That and is it Contra 2 or Super C? Was one of those was the title for the second one. I have a funny story about that. So I was living in Germany at the time. My dad was in the Air Force, and on base... they had kind of like a trash day where everybody would bring their larger items or, you know, just big boxes of stuff they wanted to get rid of. And they would put them out on the street. And it was kind of it kind of started as like an off-base German thing. Like people would just kind of forage through what you don't want, because instead of throwing it away, if somebody else is interested in reusing it or repairing it or whatever, then that's fair game. So we're on base, and my buddy and I are riding our bikes around, and we're trying to, you know, find some cool stuff or whatever. And we find this black trash bag, and inside it's got anywhere between 10 and 15 Nintendo games in it. And I had just got a Nintendo system a few years before. I mean, and you know, kids don't want to give up their toys, so I think the Super Nintendo was out at this point, but... You know, you don't give up free games, and you don't give away your old arcade or your old video game system. So in this bag is among various other things, but in this bag was a Super C with like black pen ink spilled all over it. And like it was dry and everything. But, you know, we were like, do you think it'll work? So that was the first one we tested, and we played a lot trying to get decent at that game. And we were very unsuccessful. So that's as soon as I saw the logo, I was like flashing back to that. So that was interesting. It was fun to just kind of remember about it though.
Yeah, I remember when Super C came out. I think I rented it and some friends of mine and I spent the night playing the hell out of it. But a funny story about the Contra logo that I did. It was actually the most difficult one that I've done so far, because I mean, usually with, you know, with the badges and everything, we'll do some like sprite art for each of the different categories, like contributor or Saturday, Sunday, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I could not find any sprites online for the arcade Contra. I could only find a Nintendo sprites for it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the Nintendo game just totally eclipsed the arcade game as far as popularity and, So I had to basically make my own set of sprites or sprite art for all the badges and stuff like that. It was kind of a pain in the butt.
Well, as somebody with zero artistic ability, I'm very impressed with that. I have a background in mechanical CAD, and I do everything on the computer for a reason because my hand cannot do that.
Oh yeah, I do all most of my art is computer based. I only do hand art very rarely and reluctantly.
Gotcha. So back kind of going back to the venue a little bit. Have you guys, like, when you get together for your powwows, how many ideas do you come up with that eventually get maybe not shot down, but decided maybe let's try to refine that, or, you know, try that another year, or what have you tried that you were just like, well, let's never do that ever again? I mean, I don't want to drag out negative. I'm not negative on this podcast, you know, so if there's something that's just kind of like down that road, we don't even have to go there, but just, you know, every now and then you'll hear funny stories and it's like, yeah, remember when we thought it would be a good idea to have, like, potato sack races on the second deck at the convention center? You know what I mean?
Right. No, we're all pretty much of a same mind when it comes to most aspects of the show. The only thing that seems to be divisive is having guests, like guest speakers.
Oh, okay.
I've been trying to, the first couple shows we had them, and we just did like local guys, like Chris Bosnick from Firebird Pinball and Dan Frank from House of Pinball at the time. His company's now called Paradise Valley Pinball. Any local person that wanted to get up in front of people and share their knowledge with us. But they weren't super well attended, so we kind of put them on the back burner for a while because, it cost us extra money to rent the space, and then we just didn't feel like, well, some of us just didn't feel like it was, you know, worth the expense. And then bringing out national talent costs even more because you got to put them up and you got to fly them out, and sometimes they ask for, like, money to do talks or whatever. It's just something that we haven't really been able to agree on. So,
yeah. And you know what? I went to Replay FX last year, and they had a couple talks by some of, you know, there was a guy that does the classic game reviews. And he was there, and he's on YouTube, and he's got a couple he's got a lot of really good videos, but he has, like, he's a funny personality, and you can tell there's kind of a lot of video editing that goes on because there's a lot of back and forth type stuff, and sometimes he'll, like, talk to himself or whatever. But he has a review on TX Sector, and it's hilarious. It's really good. And then he showed one of RoboCop, and RoboCop is kind of a simple game, but he finds ways to, like, make even the most simple thing about, oh, let's shoot the ramp all day. Like, he kind of makes that interesting. And you know what? He's got a lot of really good videos, but at the show, like, his presentation just wasn't very well attended. And I mean, I can tell you right now that not having a ton of attendance to those talks is not a single show's issue. It's been everywhere. And even at Texas, there was a couple of the biggest industry pinball manufacturers that were giving presentations, and the room wasn't full enough, in my opinion. I don't know what it is, but I think talks struggle.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, maybe that's just not shows like ours, maybe just not be the right fit for that sort of thing. Because I know other shows can get away with it, like Portland Retro Gaming Expo and Game On Expo here in town. They have guests out and they, like, fill up the rooms. I mean, I guess we're just a different audience.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there's a magic formula for everything. I've seen the growth of the pinball scene up in Phoenix. I've seen it explode this year, and I watched it happen, and I have witnesses that will back up the fact that I called this, like, a year and a half ago when the barcade started coming in, and then they started doing events, and it's just like the Phoenix, like the whole Whopper IFPA points thing. It's like these guys are going to dwarf us very, very soon. And I mean, there's the population base to support that, you know, a 5-to-1 ratio between Phoenix and Tucson. But I mean, it's, there's a magic formula that they found, and I would love to know what it takes to get even a fraction of that growth in Tucson, because I sure am trying. I'll tell you that.
Well, a lot of that actually has to do with a woman in town named Tracy Lindbergh. She took it upon herself to just start a league at Tilt in town. Formerly, Tilt is in the place that used to be GameWorks at the Mills Mall. And she started, I think, a couple other leagues. She started the Bells and Chimes League, which is the all-women's pinball league.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if she has anything to do with the league at the Grid. She probably does.
She started their monthly. She was their tournament director when they started their monthly in December of last year. And I know that because I attended it with Derek, who's a Tucson local, and Tracy won, and I came in second, and Derek came in third. So, and the prizes were rather handsome. For each of the top three, we got a filled growler, and a little trophy that fits nicely on top of the growler's cap. So that was that was a lot of fun. That was the first time I'd been to the Grid. That was the first time I had, I think it was probably the first time I'd been in that type of a tournament format. I don't remember the exact name, because it wasn't a three strike. It was just kind of a match play, and it was a total points type thing. It was a lot of fun. At least half the players had faces that I didn't recognize, and I don't recognize faces very, or I don't recognize names very well, but I will never forget a face. And I didn't know half those people in the room. And I think, I mean, that was late last year. And I think that's just a testament to what she's been able to do. She and Mark had both been staples in the Tucson Pinball League since it started, actually. I remember getting the email saying, hey, we live in Chandler, can we come play? And I couldn't say yes fast enough, because we were, you know, a brand new league. And we were like, if you're willing to drive from Chandler, we are more than happy to have you.
Yeah, I didn't know that they were part of the Tucson Pinball League. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, Tracy, I will give Tracy 100% of the credit for the growth that Phoenix has seen, because she's been behind an awful lot of that, and you know, she deserves a lot of that credit.
That's for sure.
So, speaking about tournaments, there was a couple interesting tournament area formats going on this year on the pinball side. You had the pinball, and now I'm completely blanking. Is it the Pinball Circus or Pinball Rodeo?
Pinball Rodeo, that is actually Dan Frank, who, a.k.a. Danger Dan, the proprietor of House of Pinball / Paradise Valley Pinball. He started that up back when he used to do a show here back in the early to mid-90s called the Wild West Pinball Fest. And it was kind of like ZapCon, only it was only pinball. Which I actually went to back in 96, I believe. But, yeah, he did pinball rodeo for that, and he made all these, he, like, modified all these pinball machines to, you know, be, like, foot-activated, or they have, like, these different colored buttons that you have to slap to activate different flippers on the playfield, and
yeah,
it's like a bunch of really wacky kind of stuff.
It's totally trippy. It's not anything that you would expect. And like, your muscle memory is completely hosed when you step up to a game. Because you're like, am I doing this with my feet? Am I doing it with my fingers? I mean, like, I wouldn't be shocked if there's one where you have to blink your left eye to flip left. You know what I mean?
Right. And he's like real creative with that stuff. And then every once in a while, he'll change up some games that he brings and stuff. And he actually... this year, he brought back tag team pinball, which was something that he did a couple of years ago with us, and also something that he used to do back in the day, where you and a partner, or like one person will be playing pinball, and I think it was Mustang or something like that, like an old EM.
Yep.
But when the bell rings, you got to go tag your partner, and then they jump in and try to save the ball and keep playing until the bell rings, and then you got to tag out again. And if you, like, foul by, like, cheating somehow, or, like, if the other person, or if you, like, keep playing after the bell rings for a little while, he'll call a foul, and then he'll move the line back further, so you'll have further to run to tag your partner. It's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I got to watch Derek Jordan and Henry Hanshaw tear it up in the tag team competition, and that was the first time I think I'd seen somebody actively playing. Like, I'd walked over to check it out, and I was just like, you know, I wouldn't mind giving this a try. I've never played this game before, but, you know, I kept hearing this bell, and so I walked over out of curiosity, and that was about the time that Derek and Henry just started. And it's kind of weird because you're getting the information from two separate people, because I started talking to Derek, and it's like, oh, well, what is this, and, you know, how's it going, and stuff like that. And then the bell would ring, and he'd, like, be gone. And then Henry would show up right next to me, and I'd be like, so are you guys winning? Like, what's going on? You know, and so he's like, oh, yeah, the whiteboard's on the other side of the machine. Ding! You know, and Derek's back. And it's like, okay, so I walk around to the other side, and it's just a constant thing. And it was really a blast to watch. Like, I know they had a good time, because they tore it up, and I think that was when they got, like, a number two score at that point or something like that. I think they had a harder time figuring out what name they were going to use, and it had something to do with high definition or HD or something. And because I was like, well, you're H and you're D, so how about, like, HD something or other? And I don't even remember what they ended up picking, but it just fit. It was funny. Everybody was having a blast. There was two girls standing in line behind. And I think they saw the lines as, you know, this first line is the person that's playing, and then the second line was, like, the cue. You know, they were waiting to get on the machine. I didn't realize that was foul related, and they were just kind of, you know, standing at the next line that was available. So that was a lot of fun to watch, and I imagine lots of people had fun participating in that.
Yeah, they did, and you know, we got some translates from certain pinball that we gave out as prizes, and Dan always has, like, a bunch of great stuff to give away. He's got a ridiculous collection of, like, he's been in the pinball industry for, you know, decades, so he's got a ton of great stuff that he always gives away for prizes and sells it at the booth and stuff.
Yeah, I've only been in this a couple of years, and I already have a collection of just, like, stuff. And I look at it, and I'm like, I don't think I'm ever going to use this, but maybe I can make a trophy out of it or something. Who knows, you know?
Right.
So you just can't get away from the hoarding, because you never know when you will need it. And, of course, as soon as you get rid of it, you'll be like, oh, I wish I had that part still. So, all righty. Well, we're coming up pretty close to the 30-minute mark. Do you want to talk a little bit, if you can, about the future? What's planned for ZapCon? You going to keep on keeping on, or?
We're already booked for next year at the Mesa Convention Center, so we've got that already lined up. We're looking at options for expanding, because we have basically filled up the main hall there.
Yes, you have.
Yeah. There are a lot of rooms to expand at the Mesa Convention Center, but none of them are ideal because of, you know, for, like, people traffic reasons. I mean, the next closest room that we can do anything in is down this really, really long hall, and we're just trying to work out if we rent this 5,000 square foot space that's at the end of this hall, we have to figure out how to navigate people down the hall, and I just figure out what we're going to do with the space and all that stuff. But yeah, we're always looking towards a bigger, better future.
Yeah, one thing I did notice that stuck out at me was Sunday. It felt a lot more busy than it had been in the past. I mean, normally Saturday was going to be your slammed busy day most of the day, but then this year Sunday was just like, wow, this is healthy. This is good.
Yeah, I think that I think last year we started charging a lower admission for Sunday, and that helped a lot. And we also scheduled a lot more of the tournament type events to also be on Sunday, and Yeah, because we also noticed the discrepancy between Saturday and Sunday. We were trying to even things out as best as we could.
Right. So so you do the logo and whatnot. Have you already started on that? Do you know what the theme is? Or are you still working on that part of things?
Yeah, we're still working on it. We haven't decided yet.
All righty. Well, I can't wait to see what you got coming forward. And I know that everybody that I've ever talked to, I actually talked to a friend from work who's into arcades. And I said, well, he said that, oh, you know, his son's got something all day on Saturday and he would only be able to come up on Sunday for a little bit. And I was like, this is the show of the year. It's half pins. It's half arcades. There will be something that you'll remember from whenever you want to remember it. And there will be things that you've never seen and have always wanted to play. He came up and it was funny. His son went over to was it a GameCube maybe that was running Smash Brothers all weekend? And he was just like kind of rolling his eyes at that. But then once he pried him away from that for a while, he was able to go check the floor out. And Monday morning, he was like, oh, dude, we played this and that. And he loved this. And, you know, like I was just happy, you know, because somebody else got to experience that. And now it's, you know, hopefully they'll carry that on and tell somebody else that they might know from their side of the hobby. And I've seen growth year after year. The game list keeps getting longer on your webpage. Your homepage keeps getting longer and longer because of that game list. And
right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think it's great. I'm appreciative, and I know a lot of people around here really enjoy going to the show because for them it's the show of the year, and it's nice that it's local. Even Tucson people consider that local.
Well, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate it. I'm glad people enjoy what we're doing because it's a lot of work.
I believe it. So, all right. Well, with that, Wes, I want to say thank you for coming on to the Tucson Pinball Podcast, and if I don't see you before then, I'll see you at ZapCon 6, right?
Excellent. Yeah, I'll be there.
Alrighty, have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
And we're clear.